Okay. All right. Wow, it's loud. Okay, I'm going to move this over just a little bit so I can kind of see what I'm doing over there and see you as well. It is good to be back at Bridletown Park Church, and it's good to see some familiar faces, Margie. And I think Chuck and Joan are over there, and Bruce and Francette, and Dave and Drew, James, and Steve, I do remember you. And yeah, it's bang on in terms of my memory. But no, it is great to be here, and it's just Sharon came with me this morning, and so we look forward to fellowshipping with you a little bit after the service as well. It's like coming home for us, coming to Bridletown Park Church. It was my very first faith community. I became a follower of Jesus in 1981, in May of that year, and it was out west, and I accepted Christ as my Savior and Lord, and I lived at 2050 Bridletown Circle, right there in that building over there, and this was the first church that Sharon and I, well, I don't know if it was the first church, but it was close to the first church that we came to together, and it was Phil Robinson. I don't know if that name rings a bell for anybody, but Phil Robinson invited me out to play hockey, and I was sold on Bridletown. So I'm a diehard Leaf fan, and I've been suffering with the rest of you for many years. So back then, Earl Lackey was the pastor, and Bill Thornton was the youth pastor, and we have many, many fond memories of Bridletown, everything from college and careers to being youth sponsors to retreats. We did our Navigators 2-7 series study group back then, and we also had a small group. We were involved with a small group with Alan and Becky Andrews back then, and it was through them actually that we were invited to come on staff with the Navigators. To this day, we still connect with many people who've called Bridletown home. So you have a special place in our hearts. And so it is very good to be here this morning. Did you know that Bridletown Park Church kicked us out? In a good way. You guys sent us, and in 1989, you sent us to be missionaries with the Navigators. You commissioned us, you blessed us, and you sent us to serve with the Navigators in campus ministry at Wilfrid Laurier University and the University of Waterloo. And we have been with the Navigators in mission ever since that day. Of course, our work has changed over the years, but we've been with the Navs for a long time, and we so much appreciate you sending us and being a sending church. It's part of your DNA to be a sending church, and we appreciate your faith and your faithfulness and your prayers, and it's, like I said, we wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for this community of faith. So that is good news. That's a good news story. That's a faithfulness story. So to give you a sense of where we're going to go this morning, I've structured our time into two segments, so I'm going to give a missions update, tell you a little bit about what we've been up to and what our hope is in mission, and then afterwards I am also going to share just a few thoughts from a devotion that I had about a month ago that is from the book of Colossians, and so kind of two-part, a little bit of a mini message, but also a missions update, okay, and that will be our time. But first, let's just devote our time to God in prayer. So if you would bow your heads with me, I'll pray. Father God, we thank you for the gift of this day, for the blessing of life, love, and purpose that you grant us. Father, we ask through your Spirit for encouragement today, especially in light of the things that have taken place this past week. We need you. We need your healing and life-giving words. Guide our hearts and minds and help us to embrace you, your message, and may we be changed in order to pass on your love and blessing to others. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, part of our missions update, I want to introduce to you my family. We had a special occasion this past year. Our son got married on May 24th. And so I'm going to introduce them from left to right. Jaden is our youngest son. We have four boys. Don't ask me why we did that. We've got four boys. Jaden is the youngest. He is in grade 9 in high school and loving it. The next beside Jaden is Daryl. He is 19. He's at Niagara College studying broadcasting, radio, television, and film. And then our oldest son, Brad, he's the groom there. He's 24, and he just graduated from the University of Guelph in studio art. And he's got quite the gift in terms of drawing and fine art. And beside him is our new daughter, our daughter-in-law, Leah, and she graduated from Laurier with a Bachelor of Music. And then there's Sharon, and I won't tell you how old she is. And then there's myself. And then to my, well, this way, Kevin, and he's our second oldest son, and he just actually finished 2 years at Columbia Bible College this past spring, and he actually is going to go on to another college, Conestoga College in Kitchener, for pre-service firefighting starting in January. So family is significant, and it's been a big part of our mission and ministry over the years with university students and with church, and we love these guys. And it was a special day, May 24th. Can't believe we're that old to have that many kids of those ages. So, what shall I tell you? We've been serving with the Navigators since 1989, and for 15 years, we engaged students in campus ministry. And after that, I spent 2 years in fundraising and development out of our national office. I didn't like that, so I moved on. And then I did 7 years of ministry with the Navigators in a partnership relationship with a local church in Waterloo Mennonite Brethren. And so I was an associate pastor, and that was great. And that partnership ended about a year ago. And so this past year has really been about transition and coming back to our first love, which is young adults. And so this past year has been a focus on that. And let me see if I can operate this thing. All right, very good. So one of the things that I did last year is I worked on a new mission statement, and this is it. To be a gospel leader and shepherd, leading, loving, and learning with the next generation in our community. And for us, that next generation is young adults, those in their 20s and in their 30s, not just university students, but those in that 20-year gap of 20s, 30s. You know, if you're, you know, just hitting 40, I might still talk to you. Or if you're 18, I'll talk to you still. I'm joking, of course. But, that's our focus. And we think this is a unique mission field. a strategic mission field, and our observation has been over the years that those that are in their 20s and 30s are very much open to dialogue and to discovery. They are seeking meaningful spirituality and faith. They desire to make a difference in their worlds. Now, this isn't true of every young adult, but I think these are, this is based on our observation and being in campus ministry for 15 years and beyond, and we find this to be true. The challenge for us as a church is that traditional forms of faith and community are not perceived by many of them as relevant and meaningful. And that is sad, but I think it's true. And, not a lot of young adults are streaming to our churches. And so I believe what is needed is for us to go to them on their turf. And I'm hoping to be a coach, a mentor, and a sponsor with young adults. And I just want to get close, because I believe that ministry happens when we do get close to people, and that we can't really do ministry from a distance, from afar. Life change happens when we're engaging people, talking with them, and really getting into their lives, finding out about their story, and then sharing our story and sharing God's story. Another thing that I believe is needed with our young adults is practical service opportunities. People need to taste the goodness of the gospel, the fact that the gospel means something here and now in our world. And so practical service opportunities connect the dots between faith and action. So as I mentioned, my intent is to get up close and personal with young adults. I want to engage them in discovering the good news of Jesus, to give opportunities for young adults to engage in mission, to know the goodness of following and loving Jesus. Because isn't that what it's about? Loving Jesus. I want to be the gospel for young adults. That means I want to demonstrate it, and I also want to share the words of the gospel. And you know what? Given the week that we had, the week of violence that we had, I am more motivated than ever to be engaged with young adults. Because we're talking, right? We've heard it in the news this past week. We've talked, we've listened, and we've heard that young people are being radicalized, that's the term, into just vicious terrorist thinking and ideology. And, this past Thursday, I was with a bunch of youth, about 25 youth and about 7 young adults. And the names of these people, let me tell you, I was with Muhammad, Nardos, Adil, Ahmad, Imad, and so on. And I just sense that that's where I need to be. Close up and personal with this community that's right in our neighborhood in Waterloo. And hopefully we can be a positive influence for the gospel in their lives. That's what we're praying for. So I am working with young adults in 4 contexts, and I just want to quickly go over them. I'm working with and inviting young adults into discovery of the gospel through community development and mission via children's and youth programs in the neighborhood. So we have 2 after-school programs that operate out of a school right in the neighborhood that we live in. And so we have a running and reading program, and we have a Discover Sport program that's in the grade school. And then we also have this youth program, and so that's part of the youth group there on the left. And on the right are a bunch of university students that are serving with us in the running and reading program that operates out of that school. And it's just been amazing to be in this context. My partner, Jeremy Horn, and I have developed some incredible relationships with the staff and students at Laurier and UW and in the neighborhood school. And so we are inviting young adults into this context to demonstrate the love of Christ and to share their love of Christ in relationship, not necessarily in the program. The programs, like, we wouldn't have access into the schools if we came in ablazing with the gospel. So we're not doing that, but we are there. We're demonstrating our faith and our love for people and for God, but we're not saying it verbally in that context. It's in the context of relationships outside of the program that we hope that we will have opportunity to share the words. Just this past week, I was able to grab a coffee with, I'll call him Richard. That's not his real name, but Richard. And Richard is a mainland Chinese pre-MBA student, master's in business admin at Laurier. And we talked about him serving with us in some of our programs. And we quickly were able also not only to talk about serving, but we are also able to talk about God, faith, and the gospel. Richard's hungry, and he's on a journey. And over our coffee, we were able to talk about what he believes. And he's got some interesting beliefs. He believes in a God. He believes there's a creator. But he also believes in reincarnation. And he believes a whole bunch of other things. And so what's exciting about that is that we've just started a conversation, and it's going to continue on between Richard and I, because I basically promised him I would help him with his English. And so each week we're going to get together, and perhaps we'll read the Bible as our text for language learning. So that's just one example of us engaging people, young adults, in this context. Lots of doors are opening. So, moving on. Another context for young adults that we are working in is with Chinese-Canadian friendships. So, this actually is a friend of mine, Nuke Shim. He's also on staff with the Navigators, and this is really his ministry. He's allowed me to come alongside him and help him specifically in the area of leadership development. So this Chinese-Canadian friendships, it's through tourism and travel, cultural events, investigative Bible studies. Through these kinds of things, learning English, people are being introduced to Christ and nurtured in the faith. And as I mentioned, I am trying to help Nuke with leadership development. And it's timely because Nuke, who is the second person on the right in the right photo, he's getting up there in age. And he wants to retire, but he wants to pass on the baton to the next generation of leaders for this ministry. And so he's asked me to help with that. And so we are developing workshops and seminars to train leaders in that context. And so far I've done one seminar on the devotional life of a leader, and we are thinking through next strategic steps in this ministry. Another context of mission that we're about is supporting young adult ministries in local churches. So this picture actually was of last Sunday. In our home, we had about 35 young adults from our church, actually, meet and gather in our home. And they were doing what young adults do. They're doing worship and singing, and there was a time of teaching, and of course we had a lot of food and stuff like that to enjoy as well. So I am working with two churches. One is WMB and their young adult ministry, which is quite established. But there's another church that I'm working with, and I'm working with a guy named Ryan. And Ryan is wanting to start or resurrect a young adult ministry in a church in Kitchener. And he's asked me to walk alongside him and help him establish that. And so through mentoring and coaching, we are trying to make a positive influence on the Vine. That's the name of the young adult ministry. They very much want to be missional and not just a fellowship group. And we are trying our best to make that happen. And this week, Ryan and I will be getting together to talk and draft a vision statement for this group. So that is another context, supporting young adult ministries in local churches. And the fourth one that I want to focus on is on campus alumni. After 15 years of being in campus ministry, there are a lot of students that have graduated and moved on, and they've moved to places like Toronto and Ottawa and Mississauga and Kitchener-Waterloo. And so we are trying to catch up with them and walk through life with them as they're starting their careers and starting families. And we want to come alongside them and encourage them in their faith at that stage of life. Often they're in their 30s by now. And that's a big part of our longing. And this family here, this is Chris and Michelle Hutton with Alora and Xander. And they're dear to us because Chris actually came out of our ministry and then came on staff with the Navigators for a season. And now he's serving as a pastor in a church in Cambridge. And so we're walking with them. And that's just one family. I could tell you about a whole bunch of other families that we're engaged with as well. So that is kind of our ministry update, and we are doing these things, coming alongside young adults in these four contexts for this purpose: to see lives and communities changed by the love of Jesus. And we think that's very much a part of what the mission of the Navigators is about, and that is it: to advance the gospel of Jesus and his kingdom into the nations through spiritual generations of laborers, living and discipling among all people. This is a part of our DNA as Navigators. And we just want to see lives changed by Jesus, by his love. So we want to thank you, Bridletown Park Church, for your partnership in the gospel. Thank you for your prayers. And I sincerely mean that. I'm not sure how long you have all been a part of this church, but I know that many of you have been praying for my health over the years. And part of my journey was that in 2009, I discovered that I had hepatitis C. And as a result of that, I have cirrhosis of the liver, and I had to go on treatment a couple of times, actually. And you guys have faithfully been praying for us throughout that season. And the great news that we can celebrate today is that I no longer have hepatitis C. God healed me. And your prayers were significant in that. We know that people all over the world, actually, were praying for us. And your prayers were a part of that. So thank you so much. And thank you for your ongoing prayers over the years. It's, almost 25 years that we've been in ministry with the Navigators. And Wow, that is just thank you for your faithfulness in prayer. We also want to thank you for your financial support. This church has supported us over the years, and a number of you in the congregation have as well, and we just want to say thank you. We wouldn't, again, be doing what we're doing without your support financially, prayerfully, and in every other way. And lastly, we want to thank you for your faithfulness and love over the years. It's our conviction that God has, through your investment, changed lives. And people have moved on from Waterloo, and they're all over the place, not only in Canada, but throughout the world. In fact, some of the people that have been influenced and part of our ministry over the years, I think you know some of them, like Trevor and Julie Seif. Yeah, like Trevor was part of our campus ministry with the Navigators back in the early 90s. Kevin and Carolyn Jolly, they are missionaries with the Navigators. You also sent them. They were a part of our ministry back at the University of Waterloo back in the early 90s. So it's amazing to see what God has done over the years. So again, thank you. So for the next few moments, I'd like to share with you some thoughts about being a missionary. Because I have the conviction that if you're a follower of Jesus, that then you are a missionary. That's part of the job description of being a follower of Jesus, is that you're a missionary. You've been commissioned, we call it the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations. And so we have a part in that. And you are a sent one. You have a story and a message to share. And that comes straight out of, I think, the heart of God. God is a missionary God. And he is about engaging our world. And he sent Israel. He sent his son Jesus. He sent his spirit. He sent his disciples. And he sends us, his people, his church, with the life and love of God to a broken and needy world. He sends because he loves. So I don't know about you, but I struggle sometimes with being a sent one. And I'm doing this as a full-time gig. Well, we're all doing it as a full-time gig. We're all full-time missionaries. But if you're like me, you may struggle with this idea of being a sent one and being a missionary. You know, like, I've got lots of questions. Well, about a month ago, I was having a quiet time with God. Now, it's not the last one I had. but it is relevant to today. Colossians 4, 2, 6, and 7 is going to be our text. But I was having a quiet time reading and praying, and I was challenged by what God was saying. So I thought it would be appropriate to share my devotional thoughts with you. And I understood, the reason why I picked this is because I understood from Pastor Allen that you guys are looking at Colossians. Is that correct? Okay. And that you also have a special focus on prayer. Yeah? All right. So hopefully this text should complement your present focus. And perhaps it could also be the basis for our praying for one another in the days ahead. So, Colossians 4, 2, 6, and 7. Now, this is from the Message paraphrase. Okay, so I'm sharing this text because this is actually what I was reading in my devotional out of the Message. So I want you to get a sense of what I was experiencing. So, pray diligently. Stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude. Don't forget to pray for us that God will open doors for telling the mystery of Christ even while I'm locked up in this jail. Pray that every time I open my mouth, I'll be able to make Christ plain as day to them. Use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not put them down, not cut them out. So, it was pretty obvious to me that prayer is a big part of this passage. Pray diligently. Don't forget to pray. Pray every time. Pray, pray, pray. It's throughout this passage, and it's just a short passage. So prayer is our first order of business. It is our work of being missionaries. We need to be diligent in prayer. And I have to confess to you that I haven't got prayer figured out. I'm not a master at it. I think Sharon and I are growing in this discipline of prayer. Even within the last few weeks, I would say that we're growing in it. Praying more often for our kids before we go to bed at night. Praying for people, praying for open doors. And so it's something that we're growing in. And one of the things that I noticed in this passage was that we are to be watchful. Watchful and alert with thanksgiving. And that there's also intercession in this passage. Prayer is foundational to missionary activity, to being a missionary. We are to be mindful of how the gospel has impacted us, changed us. I believe we're to remember what Christ has done for us on the cross, how he died on the cross for us, how he has made a difference in our lives. We have to remember our story and how we have received new and abundant life. I think we're invited to remember, relish, and rest in God's story in us, and then gratitude will flow from our lives as a result. When you think about it, our story is one of the best tools for sharing our faith. We all love stories, especially love stories, and the story of God is a love story. A love story involving you and me and God the Father. This is what he invites us to share. So in praying, I believe God was saying to me, be alert, not only to what I've done in the past, but also be alert to my activity in you and around you. I am working. Watch for it. Watch for me. The Spirit's work. Be alert to his present work every day, even today. He is about advancing his kingdom here on earth. I don't know about you, but I have this tendency to quickly jump out of bed and go about my day. And I don't stop to acknowledge that God is actively working in me and around me. Like, can you resonate with that? Like, you just go. You know, it's like life is busy and you just get up and you go. And yet I forget that God is today, October 26th, he's actively working in me and around me, and throughout all of those appointments that I have in the day, he's already at work. He's already working in someone's heart. So look for those opportunities. The invitation is to be watchful, aware. Look for the divine appointments to cooperate with God. I believe God was saying that to me in this quiet time. As a sent one, as a missionary, how do you see prayer? Are you anticipating? Are you watchful? Are you alert? Praying, God, what are you doing? What are you about? It is foundational to our work and our labor of love. Are you prayerfully anticipating God's work around you? I leave those questions with you, for you, to ponder. So prayer was a significant part of a theme within this passage. The other thing was proclamation. I don't really like the word proclamation, but it seems like it's appropriate. I was seeing words like telling, open mouth, speech, conversation. This was all within that message, the text. And it seems to me that God was saying, you need to open up your mouth. You're saying that to me. And to be honest, I really didn't like this part of my quiet time. 'Cause proclaiming confuses me. Does it confuse you? Like, really? Like, what do you say? When do you say? How do you say? I don't want to see people as projects, and I'm sure people don't want to be my project. So how? And how does this fit in with the whole idea of demonstrating and incarnating the gospel? Is it integrated? Is it both and? Is it either or? I got lots of questions about proclaiming. But I think this, God was saying to me in a loud and clear voice, it's like, you still need to proclaim. Even though you're confused about it, Dean, you still need to proclaim. You still need to share the words. So I kind of, squirmed as I was reading and reflecting. My confession to you is that as a shepherd, and I really believe that one of the ways that God has gifted me is as a shepherd. But as a shepherd, I think I'm just too sensitive. I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to offend people. I don't want, God forbid, to malign his message. And so often, I will stay quiet. Does this resonate with you? Is that your experience? So I wrote in my journal, what are you trying to say to me? And I sat there, being quiet. And in silence, I gave the Holy Spirit room to speak to me. And after a few moments, I started writing in my journal. And I believe God was saying this. It's not that difficult. It's quite simple. You are making things more complicated than it has to be. Love God, love people, be who you are, care. Opportunities for conversation will come. Bring out the best in others. So I knew God was saying to me, speak the truth in love. I am to make Christ plain to people. That's the truth. I am to do it in the way of Christ, with grace, bringing out the best in others. We need to know what to say and how to say it. And I think the temptation for all of us followers, us missionaries, is to err on one side or the other. So we err on grace or we err on truth, but we need this balance of grace and truth. We need to speak the truth and love. So we can err on truth and be brutal with people. And frankly, we as Christians have a kind of reputation for being brutal with people. Yes, we have a message, but we scare away our audience. Or we can err on so-called grace. We have an audience, but little to no message. I have a tendency to err on the side of grace. At least I think I do. Which means I won't say too much. I'll have an audience, but I've lost my message. Or I just won't share it. What's your temptation in sharing the gospel story? Do you err towards grace? Do you err towards truth? Are you seeking to find that balance of grace and truth? The words, "be gracious in your speech." The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not putting them down, not cut them out, are instructive and motivating. As missionaries, we are to consider our audience, the people right in front of us, and build bridges through conversation. This past week, I saw this being gracious in speech and building bridges with my son Kevin. And so I just want to share a little bit of a story that involves Kevin. Kevin was at work, and he works at a fruit farm just outside Waterloo. And it's an apple, Martin's. It's like Martin's apples. Like it's right there. It's part of what Waterloo is all about. So he's working there, and he spends a lot of time working with John. I'll call him John. That's not his real name. John was pretty down earlier this week as his cousin had attempted suicide the day before. And that was all due to depression. We as a family had talked not that long ago about how we can identify ourselves as followers of Jesus by expressing care to people, by offering to pray for them. Well, Kevin did a couple of things with John. One, he chose to be vulnerable. He shared a bit of his story and how he experienced significant depression in the past. In essence, he shared his testimony and how his faith had made a difference. And secondly, he asked John if he could pray for him and his cousin. And John received that gesture of care so well. Like, who's going to say no? Like, it's one way that we can just say, you know what, we care for you, we love you, can I pray for you? And that is one way of identifying ourselves as followers of Jesus. Well, Kevin did that. And they spent a significant time talking about life, depression, faith, prayer, and God. It was a beautiful gospel moment. And their relationship is going places. I share that story because I think it illustrates and summarizes the principles of our passage. Kevin was watchful and alert, seeing an opportunity to be good news and to share the words of the gospel. Now, you know what? I wasn't there. I don't know if he shared the four spiritual laws or the bridge illustration. I doubt it. I don't think he did that. But he shared a part of his testimony. He shared the fact that God had made a difference in his experience with depression. He texted me. Kevin texted me and asked me to pray for him, John, and his cousin. because he knows that prayer is significant in this missionary activity. So I said, of course. I texted him back, like, of course. And I did. And in fact, I was having a quiet time, and I was literally was writing out my prayers for John and his cousin. So Kevin was speaking the truth in love. As a regular everyday missionary, he saw the priority of prayer and the priority of proclaiming Christ. So when God told me to relax, to love God, to love people, the conversations will come, I had only one response. I wrote in my journal, "Thank you, Father. Help me to receive your love and to share your love today." As you think of us in our ministry with young adults, can I ask you to use this passage as a basis for prayer? Pray that God would open doors, opportunities for us to share the mystery of Christ with others, that we'll do that in word and deed. Pray that we would do so with clarity, with truth, and with grace and love. Pray for conversations that will bring out the best in us and others. And we will do the same for you. We'll pray for those opportunities for you to be sharing about the mystery of Christ. In closing, I want to share a reading that was part of my devotion. I have a little devotional book called Solo, and so there was the message reading of Colossians 4, but there was also this quote from Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, I believe is how you pronounce his name. If then you are wise, you will show yourself rather as a reservoir than as a canal. For a canal spreads abroad water as it receives it, but a reservoir waits until it is filled before overflowing, and thus communicates without loss to itself its superabundant water. In the church at the present day, we have many canals, few reservoirs. Let's pray. God, fill us up with your Spirit, with your blessing, with your gospel of love and forgiveness, and may you overflow from our lives to others. Amen.